Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be acceptable to you, and that we might grow in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. I do love the parables, and whoever put the Gospel of Matthew together, and we'll call him Matthew because that's a good guess, just put chapter 13 chock full of parables. That's too bad that they have these passages in the summertime when there are fewer of us here, but they're still beautiful to receive. And I wonder, though, in this chapter 13, you have the parable of the sower, which I think Moses preached on last week, and you have the weeds and the wheat this week. There's the parable of the pearl of great price and the treasure hidden in the field, and you have a great catch of fish, and you have the mustard seed. You have a whole lot of classic parables. But I wonder, what was the question that brought Jesus to first tell this story? Who was that asked? I can imagine perhaps Matthew himself, that person who had been a tax collector, called out of that living, which could be quite, well, easy. You got socially despised by other Jews, but you could live quite well. And there he was, he had given all that up to walk with this rabbi on a dusty road, and perhaps one dark night lying on the stone ground, tossing and turning, he just couldn't help himself. He had to go and wake Jesus up. Say, Lord, I heard your word, and I believe that it was wonderful. But here I am lying on the cold ground. And there are a whole lot of the people who I used to work with who are still tax collectors and really doing quite well. Why do you allow that to happen? Why does God allow that to happen? Why doesn't everyone realize that this is the truth? And again, maybe it was Mary, the sister of Martha. She had been invited to sit at Jesus' feet rather than worry about the housework. She had been told that it was okay to learn and use that wonderful mind of hers. And she had never heard that before from any man in her time. And she was enjoying this dignity. And yet she lived in a world where it was still a hard go, an uphill climb, where she was not treated as an equal, where many of her sisters still felt imprisoned and enchained and not allowed to use their mind or other gifts. Perhaps she, as she walked alongside him one day, said, why does God allow this? Why is all that unfairness and injustice and stupidity still going on in this world? We don't know why he first told this story, but it's one worth listening to. Interesting when you hear it. He's using images, as he does in most of the parables, that would have been fairly familiar to people at that time, and pretty much all the farmers of Palestine and most of the farmers today know the problems of darnel, also known as false wheat. It looks, as it's growing, exactly like wheat. And its seeds often grow together. Nature is smart in how it blends these things. So he took the image that people would have known, but he described it in a certain way. He said, an enemy sowed this. Perhaps the first question is, didn't you sow good seed? Is this word that you're sharing, is this really the good news? And Jesus said, yes, this is the good news. This is the truth. Believe me when I say that all these barriers and walls that we put between us, all this hatred and us and them, which is in this world that we live by, that excludes those God loves. When I tell you that the walls are coming down, that is the truth. But an enemy sowed a different seed. And people ask, well, why didn't God make a perfect world? Why didn't God make a world without this kind of seed? How can there be enemies to God when God is all-powerful? Well, you have to understand again that God's power is love. And love always allows for individuals. Love does not possess. Love allows for freedom. And if God made a world in which there were no enemies, you and I wouldn't be here. So often we become enemies of God. That may not be our intention, but it happens. Oh, I know it happens. So God says, an enemy did this. I actually have opposition in this world. Everything that happens in this world is not my will, but my will shall stand, and I will accomplish my purpose, as it says in Isaiah. The only thing I need you to do is be patient and trust. The servants in the parable wanted to get in there right away and start pulling up the weeds. The only trouble is it really is hard to tell the wheat from the darnel. And even if you can, even if you can make that distinction, then when you pull up the darnel, its root system intertwines. You can see the roots, they're fibrous, they go out, it intertwines with the wheat, and you'd pull the wheat up too. It's called false wheat, the Lolium Temulentum in Latin. It means drunk. Because the seeds of the darnel plant, actually, they're very likely to get a kind of fungus which makes you nauseous. And if you eat enough of it, can actually kill you. But what you will look like is you're drunk. So there's a good reason to get rid of this weed. It's unhealthy. If the darnel grains get mixed in with the wheat grains, then it ruins the crop. You have to throw it all out because you can't use that. But you have to be patient. Especially patient because, you know, I want to hold off on that for one moment. Sometimes, even what we know to be a weed actually turns out not to be a weed. When I was a little boy, my dad loved to garden. He was from the farm. And we grew up, we had a little house on Arkell Street in Hamilton. If you've ever heard of the rock group, the Arkells, they come from my street. And that little house had a little yard, but it was completely turned into a garden by my dad. Yesterday would have been my dad's birthday. Today is my mother and father's wedding anniversary. Well, it was a magical thing for me in the summertime to be out in that garden following my dad doing the gardening. He was like a high priest, you know, he was able to make food grow. And he would walk around and plant things, and then they would grow, and he would weed around them and nurture them, and I used to work alongside him, and it made me feel so wonderful to be doing what my dad was doing. And one morning, I woke up and saw Dad out in the garden before he went off to the pharmacy to work for the day. And I jumped up and got out of my pajamas and ran down to join him, but he was gone already. But I knew what to do. Anyway, my mom looked out the window and saw I had pulled up half a row of beans before she got me out of there. I was pretty sure I knew what a weed was. I mean, I had followed Dad around. I had worked with him, and I was 4 years old. I knew everything. My mother always told me you couldn't tell me very much. But the truth is, I didn't know the weeds from the fruit-bearing plants. And how often in our lives are we like that? We're pretty certain we know the weeds of this world, and we want to root them out, sometimes with a vengeance. But how often would we be taking away the possibility of a life and a future? How many weeds have you had in your own personal history that at the time when you were living through them, you would have done anything to not be in that particular place or have that particular challenge? I can think of many instances in my life when I found myself in a sawmill in BC between my second and third year of university. That wasn't the course my life was to take. I was to be an academic superstar, and there I was trying to decide who I was. But I wouldn't think of my life now without those 8 months in a sawmill. They are so much a part of my root system and the fabric of my being. At the time, I would have thought they were weeds, and I would have pulled them out if I could. But now I know they were part of the nourishment of the plant that I needed to be. Think of my sabbatical, how many times I tried to go on that sabbatical, and how many times something came up, or I chickened out. But last year was the time, and it was the right time. How many weeds do you have in your life that you came to realize were actually a beautiful flower? Were actually what you needed and will always maintain and be maintained as that plant that you especially nurture in your garden? How many people in the New Testament were weeds when Jesus met them? Zacchaeus, Mary Magdalene, Matthew himself, and yet they became so important in the reign of love. I like this poem. It's called Surprise in Heaven. I dreamt death came the other night, and heaven's gate swung wide. An angel with a halo bright ushered me inside. And there, to my astonishment, stood folks I judged and labeled as quite unfit, of little worth, and spiritually disabled. Indignant words rose to my lips, but never were set free, for every face showed stunned surprise. No one expected me. How many times would we have pulled up someone that God loved? How many times would someone have pulled us up? And yet God loves us too. It's a wonderful thing that God is patient, and God is kind, and God sees in us more than we can see in ourselves, and God always can tell the difference, and God is patient, and God is kind. This world has a tendency to like to label weeds and turn us into us and them. It makes us feel good about ourselves. It gives us a sense of superiority and significance in this world. Sad, isn't it, that we only gain significance by someone else's insignificance rather than realize the dignity and value of all? These are girls in Satara region in India, the west area of India, and there were about 200 of them gathered this day for what was called a Nakusa or Nakisha event. This is a name that is given to too many girls in India, and it's surprising that someone would do this to them, but it means unwanted. How many centuries have women been the unwanted ones in our world and society? Always a son is desired, and a girl, well, they're useful. I know one of our tour guides in Palestine was, she was wonderful. Her name was Nua, which meant intelligent. But it had been changed from a name that had meant the last one. Because in her family, they had all girls. And when they had her, the youngest of the daughters, they didn't want any more girls. So she was named by the family the last one. And her father, bless his heart, changed it to Nua, the intelligent one. And she was a very bright, wonderful, engaging person. Well, these girls, the unwanted, were gathered in Satara for a renaming ceremony. And they're holding up there the certificates of their new name. They were no longer to be unwanted. They were no longer to be the weeds of their society. The one on the left chose the name Ashmita, which means very tough. I hope when you look upon the weeds of your life or the weeds of our world, you'll look very carefully. The parable doesn't invite us to do nothing. The workers of that field are farmers. They are to nurture the grain. And God has sown good grain in our midst. The word of God, the love of Jesus Christ, is something to be nurtured, to participate in, to join in that mission and ministry. And we are to be discerning. When we see those things which are opposed to that love, then we are to act accordingly. But we have to be careful. We can't just root them up or hate them. We have to understand, too, God is working there, nurturing and gardening. And something yet might come, even of ourselves. In the end, darnel is actually pretty easy to tell from wheat. When the grain finally comes to a full head, the ear of the darnel, well, the seeds are black and they're light, so the grain stands straight up. It's kind of a nice reflection. The wheat is heavy, kind of golden brown. And because it's so heavy, it bends over. Someone reflecting on that said, you can tell the weeds because they're full of pride. They stand up and say, I can do it all myself. The good fruit bends its head and says, thank you, Lord. I can do nothing without you. So, be humble as you go about the task of nurturing and growing in this life and world. Be humble even toward yourself. When you're going through one of those periods and times, don't be too hard on yourself. When you're going through one of those lousy times in your life when someone you love is under great pressure or tension or illness, discover in those moments the gift and the life and allow the fruit to grow. Trust God and be patient. There are great possibilities ahead. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, you are the one who has planted the good seed, and you are the patient one who waits for all of it to grow. Bless us with the same patience, and allow us in your patience to see your love. In Jesus' name, amen.